Welcome to the Living Word with Chuck Davis.
You're about to hear a post-Advent message that I preached at Stanwich Church a number of years ago. You will notice that it kind of starts abruptly. It's because you are missing a section that was acted out. Several of us dressed up as magi coming to worship the baby Jesus. We even had a camel in two parts. You'll have to use your imagination for that. It wasn't a live camel. We had a couple people volunteer to be the head and the tail of a camel. It was a fun experience, and we had the whole congregation together, kids and adults, and the place was packed. After 15 minutes of drama, the congregation sang, and I then came back in to give the so what and the now what of the message. When you look at Revelation, some of the absurdity of the story that we see ask a very powerful question that rings throughout all of the text. Will Jesus be our king, or will another king take the throne of our hearts? This message is a post-Christmas message to once again direct our hearts towards Jesus.
The Magi and the baby Jesus. I hope you got the story with all the things that we've added. You know we're not spending a lot of money in the budget in our acting department at Stanwich. But the things added have been happening for centuries. The idea of three kings. Three, because there were three gifts. We really don't know how many magi they were. And kings, because they were kingly type gifts, and more than anything pointed to the one who was receiving them, more than the one who was giving them. And nativity scenes, which we have in our house with shepherds and wise men and magi together. I have one of my favorite ones down below. It's hand carved from Africa. And the camels are there. But the truth of the matter is that the magi arrived maybe a couple years later because Mary and Joseph had gone back to their hometown of Nazareth. And they bring worship. So all of these things, because it's been changed through the years, tell us that it's just a legend and we should forget it anyhow, right? No, there's a real clear reason why Matthew adds it. If you look at all the gospel writers, they're selective in what they choose. John says, if all the things Jesus did were put into books, there would be not enough books in the earth to contain all those things. And so the gospel writers are selective in what they choose. In fact, the very absurdity of the story suggests that it has to be true. If Matthew were writing a gospel in which he wanted to portray Jesus as something other than he was, he wouldn't have included magi. Up to this point in the biblical record, there's nothing good said about magi. Magi are astrologers. They're people that read the signs. They're looking for something, but they're not completely connected to what God is doing. If Matthew were making the story up, he wouldn't include them. Suggests that it had to have happened. And adults bowing to a baby, it's ridiculous. It's as ridiculous as it is for us, it's even more ridiculous to that ancient culture with its hierarchical system. Yes, if Jesus teaches and you understand that he is the Messiah, maybe you would follow him. And when you see the miracles, it might lead you. But a baby that you would bow down to worship? And the expression that is brought in the frankincense and myrrh anticipates how this baby is going to become king. You just sang about it. The cold, stone-cold tomb, which he will burst out of and bring life to everyone. Tim Keller preached on the Magi just 3 weeks ago. Someone was telling me this week, and I thought I should go listen to it. I encourage every one of you who wants to know some of the details behind the Magi story to go listen to it on his website. But he says this reason is the reason that Matthew includes it, to show that every nation and every wisdom must bow down to Jesus. That's the biblical story. Jesus is not just a cute little baby in a manger. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's sometimes we just want him to rip off his natural clothes at times and be a king like Herod. But the reality is that Jesus brings a kingdom in that's completely different than any kingdom that's ever been seen on this earth. So what's my so what and now what this morning? The first so what is this. True joy will come to you when you finally make Jesus king of your life. Those magi had a lot going for them. They were intellectuals of their time. They were people that pursued wisdom. But it wasn't until they acknowledged Jesus as who he is, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, that they gave themselves to their true identity and purpose. They found the one that everyone is looking for in their heart. And out of that comes a hilarious expression of giving of their time and their talent and their treasure. Everything becomes Jesus when you recognize that he's king. You see, in the West, we want to dabble with Jesus. We want Jesus and. And when I say we, I'm pointing directly to myself. I'm caught in this tension all the time. I commoditize Jesus in the same way I commoditize so many things. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Even in baby form, magi go before him and worship him. So what's my now what to that so what? It's an invitation to make Jesus king of your life. Take yourself off the throne. Take your family off the throne. Take your career off the throne. Take the pursuits that have gotten in the way of him off the throne and allow Jesus to be king. Here's the interesting thing when you do that. As long as those things are your gods, you'll never truly have them. But the minute that Jesus becomes king of everything, he has this ability to give you all those things back in a fresh way for his kingdom. That's why he says later, seek first my kingdom and all of these things will be added to you. It's an ordering of things in our life. My second so what is this? The wisdom of this world and even revelation that comes in signs is not enough. It can get us on the journey, but only the Word of God can get us home. Isn't it interesting that spectacular things like the lining of Saturn and Jupiter that looked like a star that caused Magi to start out on this journey could lead them almost all the way, but it takes the Word of God, it takes the prophetic word of Micah into their life, the written Word of God that makes everything clear. So pursue natural wisdom and look at the signs and be alert, but be people of the Word. Because the Word will give you a foundation and establish you so you will not be moved in your life. It's interesting. There are two kings that come before us in this story. There's Herod and there's the baby Jesus. Herod thought he could create something for himself, a testimony to his own name. He was going to be king by might. What he didn't realize is that God had sent the king who was to be king by right. And he took his place, and our lives are different because of it. So worship Jesus. As everybody else goes flat from now to January 1, be people of great joy because you know the king. He's alive. And he provides relationship with you to the Father. This morning, you'll have an opportunity to just give yourself back to God. I get emails every once in a while where people say, Pastor, how come we don't do altar calls? I like altar calls. They're appropriate in certain settings, but it's not really a Northeastern thing. It's a form. It's a form that God has used. It's not the only form. But we have an altar call really every Sunday, and it's at this table. It's where we respond to God's word, and when we say, God, we agree that in this meal, this fellowship meal that you've given to us, that we realign our lives, that you are king, and we're not. And every time we get to take the bread and we get to take the cup, we're declaring we receive Jesus again. He's everything for us. And so as you come forward today, give yourself back to God as he's given himself to you. As you come as a family, give your family back to God. If you've had a chance to talk to your children about communion and they're prepared, all they have to do is put their hands out and they'll receive. If you haven't had that opportunity, you can just simply have them cross themselves like this, and the person serving the bread will bless them. Give them back to God. Give your career. Give your neighborhood, give all the pursuits of your life. And I said it at Christmas Eve, and I'll say it again. And then step back and watch and see what God does through your life. Amen.